Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the Kings of the King of the Demons. Text number 6. Krudasya yasya kampante. Trayo loka saheshvara. Tasya me bitavan muda. Shashanam kim balo tyaga. Krudasya, when angered, yasya, he who, kampande, tremble, trayaloka, the three worlds, saha ishvaraha, with their leaders, tasya, of that, me, of me, Hiranyakashipu, Abhidavat, without fear, muda, rascal, shasanam, ruling order, kim, what, bala, strength, ayataga, have overstepped. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I'm angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power is a rascal like you become so impotent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Purport. The relation between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable. The devotee never claims to be very powerful himself. Instead, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, being confident that in all dangerous conditions, Krishna will protect his devotee. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kuntiya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare boldly, and my devotee never perishes. The Lord requested Arjuna to declare this instead of declaring it himself, because sometimes Krishna changes his view and therefore people might not believe him. Thus Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that the devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu is perplexed about how his 5-year-old boy could be so fearless that he did not care for the order of his very great and powerful father. A devotee cannot execute the order of anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the position of a devotee. Hiranyakashipu could understand that this boy must have been very powerful, since the boy did not heed his orders. Hiranyakashipu asked his son, Kim Bala, how have you overcome my order? By whose strength have you done this? Krudasya yasya kampante trayo loka saheshvara tasya me bhitavan buddha shasanam kim valo tyaga. My dear son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I'm angry, all the planets of these three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers, by whose power has a rascal like you become so impotent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? It appears that Hiranyakashipu was afraid. Afraid not so much that his little boy, he couldn't kill him, but he was afraid that maybe there's some power behind this boy that I can't kill, that's more powerful than me. After all, he spent 120 years of the demigods standing at the tip of his toes in order to become eternal. And he asked for 100 benedictions for eternity, so he thought, assure his eternality. But in spite of all his attempts to kill his little boy turned out to be at least as powerful as he is, or he was, because he couldn't kill his little boy. So then he was wondering, I got my benediction from Brahma. Did you get it from Brahma too? Did you also stand for 120 years of the demigods? And then he gave you the body of Prahlad. So he was wondering what's happening. Are there two gods in this universe, me and Prahlad? But Prahlad kept on talking about some other god, where he got his power from. He wanted to know, where did you get your power from? And of course Prahlad will tell him in the next verse, I got it from God. After all, Prahlad spent some time insulting his father. Tat sadamaine suryavarya deinam sadasamu vigna diyama satgrahat hidvatmaptam griham andakupam vano gitam yad dari ashriyeta. That when Prahlad was asked what's the best thing that we've learned in school, Prahlad said, my dear father, the best thing I've learned in school is that you're a number one fool. That's the best thing I've learned. So, obviously, here is Hiranyakashipu, controlling all the demigods in the universe. It said that sometimes Indra was his footstool. The same Indra who's controlling the clouds, the rain, king of the demigods, was acting as the footstool of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was a huge demon. As we find out in the story of Bali Maharaj, which I've told before, that when Ravana went to beg some charity from Bali Maharaj, you know, to fight against Lord Ramachandra, Bali Maharaj offered to give him some charity, and he took him to a huge room, and in the room there was a diamond mountain, a mountain made out of diamonds, reaching into the sky. And on top of it was some gold, another. So he said, Bali Maharaj said to Ravana, yeah, here's some charity, just pick it up and take it home with you. So Ravana tried to pick it up, he couldn't even budge it. And Bali Maharaj started to laugh, and he said, actually, do you know where this diamond mountain came from? And Ravana said, no, I don't really know. Can I guess? He said, well, actually, it came from your last lifetime, you were Hiranyakashipu, and you fought against someone called Nrisimhadev. And during that fight, one of your earrings fell down here, and this is that earring. Now that Nrisimhadev, he's the very same Lord Ramachandra. So in your last lifetime, you fought against him and you lost miserably. I mean, you got really cut up, to tell you the truth. And now you've taken this birth as tiny little Ravana, and you're going to fight against that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you think you have a choice? Well, believe me, I'm not betting on you. I have odds out against you. I'll bet 10 to 1 against you. Then, of course, Ravana left, and his doorkeeper was Vamanadeva, so Vamanadeva kicked him 800,000 yojanas back to this planet. Poor little Ravana. Ravana was so powerful he could actually pick up Mount Kailas. And then when Shiva was wondering, Parvati was wondering, why is our mountain shaking? Then Shiva put his foot down and he squashed Ravana's hands, and he was screaming for hundreds of years in pain. And then Shiva came by and said, yes, can I help you? And then Ravana prayed to Shiva for so many benedictions. But the point is, Hiranyakashipu was inconceivably powerful, and yet this little 5-year-old boy didn't listen to him at all. It almost reminds me of that story of the yogi who went through so much austerity for hundreds of years in order to get the power to walk across water. And finally he got the power, and he called all the village people to come and they stood on one side of the lake, and he was on the other one, and he walked across the lake. And everyone bowed down before him, saying, "Oh, Ishvara, Bhagavan, accept our respects." Except for one little boy, didn't pay him any attention. So the yogi became angry and went up to the little boy and said, "So, why you don't pay me any respect?" He said, "Because your power is only worth five, it's not even worth 5 rupees, it's five, what do they call those? Five, lower than the rupee?
Paisa.
Paisa. It's only worth 5 paisa. He said, "What do you mean? It's only worth 5 paisa. He said, "Because for 5 paisa I can take a boat across the river. What do I need your mystic power for?" So Hiranyakashipu got so much mystic power, he's practically controlling the universe, and this little 5-year-old child of his is just insulting him left and right, and he can't do anything about it. He's trying in so many different ways to kill the little boy, and the little boy is unaffected. The only one who's affected is Hiranyakashipu. He's becoming more and more angry, more and more afraid. The little boy is just sitting there, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." So he's going to inquire. He's always inquiring from his little boy, what's the best thing you've learned in school? And now he's going to inquire, "So Prahlad, where did you get your power from?" And he won't like the answer. And Prahlad says, "From God. From the same person you're getting your power from, I'm getting my power from." So he may think that I don't like what this person is doing. Where is he getting the energy to do it? If there is a God, he wouldn't let them do it. But God is giving him the energy to do it too. As he's giving us the energy to think we're perfectly right, he's giving the other person the energy to do what we think is perfectly wrong. And there's nothing we can do about it. Therefore, all this so-called history, which is always chosen by the winner. In other words, if the last world war, the other side had won, we'd have a completely different history. Probably Churchill and Roosevelt and others would have been tried as war criminals. Certainly some of them would have been. So, because people are seeing from the point of view of their sense gratification, they don't understand that behind everything is God. And therefore, the only thing that they could actually do to help people, ultimately, is to try to explain to them about God, about Krishna. Other than that, and if they become Krishna conscious, then they'll become tolerant, at least, of what's going on in the material world. They won't blame everyone else for the evil that's going on. They'll understand that everything is being arranged perfectly by that Supreme Person in order to teach people a lesson that they're not God. And if they become Krishna conscious, to teach them a lesson who actually is God. First, we have to learn that we're not God before we can find out who actually is God. Now, people don't usually want to learn that lesson because the last thing they want to find out is that they're not God. And even if they admit one day in dire circumstances that there's some slim possibility that they're not God, but they certainly don't want to find out who is God, who they can't compete against no matter how hard they try. They may think, "I've been trying hard since time immemorial. I'm just getting the knack of it now. If I just wait here a few 100 million years more, I should be able to figure it all out. And eventually I'll get all mystic powers, I'll control the universe, or two, as one religion says." But then I'll realize that the real God is controlling trillions of universes. And every atom, very hard to compete. Even when we try to enter into one atom, we don't quite fit. We don't know how to get in there. The door is locked for us. But Krishna is in every atom, and in between the atoms, and everyone's heart. So to try to compete against him, it's not possible. Then that's only a fraction of his opulence. So the point is that Hiranyakashipu will get a very painful but enlightening lesson. That although he figured he was going to live forever, still, by Krishna is very clever, and so even the most powerful demon sometimes develops stomach problems. Because through stomach problems, he actually had to leave that body and come back again and take birth as Ravana. And then he got heart problems. And then his next life after that, he got a very sore neck. So Krishna is more powerful than anyone. He can bestow upon stomach problems, heart problems, or a neck problem. And then the demon has to leave and go somewhere else. Therefore it's said, Mahajano Yena Katasapanda, one should follow in the footsteps of the great devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna and be careful not to follow in the footsteps of the demons because their destiny is not very pleasant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? It's like everyone is searching after who is in control? Who is responsible? Is it the Illuminati? Is it the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation who's controlling? Who is controlling everything? And then you find out it's a little coward boy in Vrindavan. What a disappointment. And even we tell people, people will laugh, you know, come on, we get serious. Looks like he probably took one of those vaccines, his skin has turned blue. But we know who's behind everything, therefore we're not so much in anxiety criticizing everyone that's coming on. You know, the people are simply instruments giving people either Krishna consciousness or the reactions for their bad karma. So is there any questions or comments? Did you have a question? Who has a question? Okay. Do we have a microphone?
So I was just curious because here in the purport it says that Krishna sometimes changes his opinion and people do not believe, might not believe him. It was
his view, it says.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, sorry. I translated it from the, yeah.
Well, Krishna says, I will not fight, for instance. And he meant it. He wasn't just saying, you know, with his fingers crossed. But when it comes time to the situation is such that his devotee might be in danger, then he has a choice. Either he's going to follow his promise or protect his devotee. So his view changes now in this circumstance. I'm going to protect my devotee, even though it may break my vow. So Krishna has different views under different circumstances. Anything else? Okay. You give it to him first.
Thank you, Maharaj. When we make that point that Krishna is arranged everything, what is purpose actually of Hiranyakashipu to harsh his son? Because whatever Hiranyakashipu says actually, and think he was inspired by Krishna, isn't it?
And,
Could we see some point in it also?
Well, the goddess of fortune, as we read in the other verse, saw some point in his criticizing Prahlad. But that's because everything is under Krishna's control. But Hiranyakashipu wasn't trying to glorify Prahlad Maharaj, because he was under Maya's control. Now, the soul is always the same. Soul doesn't change, but when he chooses to dovetail his desires with the illusory energy, then his activities are all illusory. They're all misplaced, misconceived of. So that's how it goes on. Whether you're Hiranyakashipu or an ant, It's all under the illusory energy's control. Anything else? Yeah.
So, Hiranyakashipu, he got so many indications that Nrsimhadeva was God, and he still wanted to fight him, and he still was so certain that he would win. So, how is this? Like, what was affecting him? Like,
well, he got benedictions from Brahma. He didn't know who this half man, half lion was. He thought it was really strange. You know, he didn't know where he came from. He had no idea what was going on. So he fought against him. Therefore, even though he was killed by Lord Narsingadev, he didn't get liberation. He had to come back as Ravana. He didn't. Although Ravana, in some respects, was quite opulent because of being killed by the Lord in his last lifetime, still he had no idea who he was fighting against. He thought Brahma was the supreme in the universe. Therefore, he got the best benediction possible. So therefore, he thought, at least it's going to be an even fight. And indeed, you know, the fight went on for a long time. It started in the afternoon, then it went on all into the evening, into dusk. So he was getting confident, you know. I'm going to wear this guy out. Okay, one more question.
Hiranyakashipu, he also had some knowledge. When his brother was killed, he was preaching to his mother. And what would you say, was he philosophically, was he Mayavadi or impersonalist?
Obviously he was Mayavadi. He didn't teach anything about Krishna. Didn't start kirtan with his family, don't worry. No, he hated Vishnu. But he believed in the eternality of the soul. You'll find a lot of people, even in India nowadays, they believe that in transmigration, but they still, they're impersonalists. Bansi, do you want to ask a question? Short question.
When Chaitanya wanted to kill Madai, I think.
Yeah.
Nityananda told him, you came to kill mentality, not body. But on the other side, Prabhupada wanted us to establish Varna Ashrama and the Akshatriyas. They will be... in some degree they will be Krishna conscious or God conscious, and they will have to kill some persons.
Yeah, I mean, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, King Prataparudra and his army, they were killing also. They fought against the Muslims. Not unusual.
So
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't kill anyone, but sometimes Kshatriyas have to. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Brahmin. So we'll leave it up to the Kshatriyas to kill people. We're not going to go around killing people. As soon as we picked up a sword, it'd probably fall on us. Okay, thank you very much. Kundarashi Mad Bhagavatam Kidaj.